Amen. You can't hurry God. Amen. Can we just celebrate the choir and the musicians this morning, just leading us in worship? Amen. 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 I appreciate your ministry and your gifts that you are blessing us indeed this morning. Really just bless my heart. You can't, how many of you know you can't hurry God? Amen. If we're honest, I wish I could. Amen. But you can't hurry God. Amen. Amen. And who knew Linda could sing like that? Amen. Amen. What a blessing, you know. I know there are so many talents that we have yet to discover in this church, but what a blessing. I remember talking about hurrying God when they were singing. I remember when I was going through officer training in the Marine Corps, my assignment was to keep watch of a Moroccan prince, Bakrik. And Bakrik would always be late. And I would get yelled at. And I asked him one time, Bakrik, why can't you come to formation on time? He said, in my country, when you are important, people wait for you. So for him to come on time meant he wasn't important. What am I saying? God is not on our time. God does exactly what he wants to do. Because when you are important, he's not watching our watch. He arrives when he arrives. And it's not our job to watch God. Come on, somebody. You can't, turn to your neighbor and say, you can't hurry God. And the good news is, he is always right on time. Let's give God some praise this morning. Oh, gracious and eternal God, we thank you for that reminder for all of us, and this is in line with the message. All of us have been waiting and desiring for you to show up in some area in our lives. And the choir has reminding us, and scripture will again, that you know what you're doing. And there is a plan, even in the waiting. And so, God, we defer to your sovereignty. And we thank you for being at work in the waiting. Bless every tear, bless every longing, bless every desire, for your presence makes all the difference. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen, amen. Good to have Deacon Don and Rhoda and Robin, their family has really gone through, but God is still faithful. Amen. And he's worthy. And your presence here today affirms that. If you can, please stand to your feet as we read Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verses 14 through 16. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16. And the NIV reads as follows. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and the Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, surely the day is coming. Turn to your other neighbor and say, but you can't hurry, God. Amen. What a confirmation from the songs today of the message. We are in the first week of Advent, and what we are celebrating is hope. And hope is all about waiting, all about waiting. Some of you have heard my traumatic experience that some of y'all may not find traumatic, but it was traumatic to me. Amen. When I was 10 years old, for reasons still unknown to me, my mama put me and my brothers on a Greyhound bus to Longview, Texas. Told me we were only going for a few days, she said. We got on the bus with Aunt Addie, who is no aunt, some relative, but you know, back in the day, if you're close enough, they are aunt and uncle. There's no cousins. We got on the bus with Aunt Addie that I did not even know that well. And we headed to Mama Sarah's, my grandmother. And I was excited because Mama Sarah made the best upside down pineapple cake that I had ever had. And I'm going to see my Mama Sarah just for a few days. I just tried out for a baseball team. I mean, I was catching stuff way down here, hitting the ball. I was excited about playing with this team, so a few days won't hurt. So I get on the Greyhound bus. I think it took us 2 or 3 days to get to Longview, Texas. I arrived in Longview and loved and hugged and received all this love from my grandma. I'm happy. Get up the next day. Yeah, I mean, y'all know something about South. They used to have houses that used to make homemade ice cream for a nickel. So I'm getting my homemade ice cream on day two, and next day I'm getting my snow cones. This is Texas. This is Texas style. I'm happy. But day three, I'm ready to go home. I miss my family. I miss my friends. I got to play baseball. So on day four, I'm calling my mama. When is the bus coming? My mother, God bless her heart. That's her favorite song when she has in protest, you say, Lord, bless your heart. That means she was in protest or whatever she said. So God bless her heart. My mother said, the bus coming. Your sister would be there the next day. Next day came. No bus. Day five. Next day came. No bus. Week one. Now, I'm only 10, so I know, I'm sorry y'all think I'm strong in this, but at 10, I'm crying now. I'm crying. Mama, where are you? My mama said, bus coming. Week two. Now, why would you do a child like this? No bus. Week three. No bus. By week three, my grandma said, I'm going to buy this boy a ticket home. Week three, my sister shows up with my bus ticket. And I'm running in the room getting my bags back. But the next day, she unpacked her bags. And stay another 10 days. Yeah, Moria. I missed the whole baseball season. It's almost ready to go back to school. What am I saying? I was longing for home. And I was hoping against hope that day after day, my mama would send a bus, not to somebody to come and join me, but take me home. And, you know, I don't know what was going on in that time. Maybe her and daddy was fighting. I don't know why they had to get rid of the kids, but It had to be a reason. They never told me about it. But the truth be told, what I want us to get to is that Advent in this season, we want to think about the smell of Christmas and Christmas trees and lights and Christmas cookies and family. But, you know, when you look through the liturgical scriptures, it brings you to Jeremiah. It brings you to not Christmas as in pretty and light, but in longing and pain and hoping and waiting and unfulfilled desires. I want y'all to hear me this morning, because Advent allows us to own our own unfulfilled desires. Now, there's nobody under the sound of my voice who does not love God, but still has some stuff in their lives that remain unfulfilled. Praying for a loved one to come around and they have not. Praying for a child to come around, they have not. I didn't know this was going to happen, but my wife and I had a bad experience with a coach with my daughter in high school who just somehow just hated her and had her go to a 2-day tournament last year and didn't play but 30 seconds. And we went to the headmaster because, you know, I'm going to talk to somebody. Some of y'all may sit back, but I don't just go with the flow. We called the headmaster in and I said, you look at 16 hours of going away to a tournament and to ask the coach how long my daughter prayed. It was practice, 30 seconds. She had no excuse. And, you know, she finally quit. And we got a new coach this year, and I'm happy. We were longing for a change. We prayed for a change. And you know what happened yesterday? This girl, 6'5", Camille has the ball. She puts both elbows on Camille, not a basketball move, and puts her whole weight on her. And Camille crumbles to the ground. And something sprang, knee, ACL. Why am I saying that? I was like, God, we've been waiting for this girl to play her senior year. And it looked like it may not happen. This is the world we live in. It doesn't mean God is not good. It doesn't mean that he does not love us. But we live in a fallen world. And all of us, if we're honest, even in this pretty Christmas season, we have unfulfilled desires. And Jeremiah speaks to that. Because the prophet Jeremiah, Reverend Barham says she believes she has a prophetic gift. I believe that may be true, but it's hard being a prophet because everybody don't applaud you when you say don't do something that God told you to tell people don't do. And the reality is you know that. It's hard telling the truth. Jeremiah was a prophet who was, scholars are actually split on this text. He was either preaching to the Israelites, Judah, who was actually going into exile, or coming out, or getting ready to go into exile. So they were either in exile or getting ready to go into exile. And Jeremiah had to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And you know what they did? They didn't have a national holiday for him. The king of Judah didn't want to hear what Jeremiah wanted to say. And so he had prophets telling him the exile is not going to be long. You're going to be back in Jerusalem. It's going to be okay. Jeremiah said, no, God didn't say that. So the king locked Jeremiah up because he called him the prophet with bad news. Who want to hear from him? But Jeremiah was only telling the truth. Listen to what God says. Israel was not being obedient to God. And therefore, God said, I'm going to punish you. And Babylon was surrounding the precious city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was telling the king to surrender and you will live. But the king said, no, I'm not going to surrender. The prophet said that we're going to withstand the siege. And God said, no, you're not going to withstand the siege. You're going to go down. But listen to the words of God when he's telling them, just wait. I'm going to restore Israel in time. In Jeremiah 3, and what I want us to sense is this message of waiting and hope in God's way, not hoping when things are right, but hoping under very difficult circumstances. This is what this message is about. Whatever you're going through, just keep waiting. And I believe it is hope against hope. Jeremiah 30 says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord. He's just saying the days are coming. And what does that tell you? It's not right now. There are the words. These are the words in verse 4. The Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard. Terror, not peace. Ask and see. Can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Every face turned deathly pale. How awful that day will be. No other will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. That's the hope. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their necks. I will tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Do not be afraid. Turn to your name and say, do not be afraid. Whatever you're going through, no matter how hopeless it may seem, don't be afraid. Jacob, my servant, do not be dismayed, Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of this distant place. We're going to talk about this sometime in the new year, but we need to have a theology in exile. A theology in exile requires some stuff, because when you're in exile, what you hope for, what you believe, has nothing to do with your current situation. So how do you get out of that? You got to have a theology of exile. What does that mean? That means that you got to have some tangible signs, some tangible remembrances, some tangible things that you can point to and say, in this dark place, God is still good. In this dark place, there is still light. In this dark place, there is still joy. In this dark place, I still believe God loves me. We need to have some tangible things. We need to have people we can touch that can tell you to hold on. I've been there. God will bring you out after a while. You need to have your prayer book, your prayer partners, your songs. You need to understand that there are times in life with God, you need a theology of exile that will keep you until God brings you back. So God has given them a theology to hold on. Verse 10 says, so do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place. Your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you. Amen. I say amen to that. I am with you. Amen. I will save you. Turn to your neighbor and to yourself and say, God will save you.
God will save you.
Declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not, this is the good news, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only in due measure. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. I'm laughing to myself as I'm studying this because I hear in God being a parent. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. You ever, I never did this, but some of y'all have spanked y'all kids and say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. That's what God is saying. I was like, no, it's not. Yeah. You know, why don't you just go ahead and hit yourself, you know. God is saying, you know, I'm going to punish you, but I don't really want to do it. But you can't go unpunished. But the hope is in this position of exile that God is still with us. That he has a plan to restore you, to bring you back. But you got to hold on. Somebody say you got to hold on. I want us to own this morning our unfulfilled desires. I want us to own this morning that my daughter may not play her senior year. Whatever that is for you, I want you to own that God looked like he was bringing you out and then somebody came and crumbled you, your hopes again. Instead of getting out of exile, you feel like it's been extended. Is anybody there this morning? Well, this message is for you. God is saying, I know where you are and hold on to the promise. This is about the promise God gave you. And in spite of your circumstances, God is saying, I'm going to bring you out. But the choir preached this morning, you can't hurry, God. I look at this. And I determined that sometimes we need a laughable hope. Say, what you talking about, preacher? Sometimes the situation is so bad that either you're going to get depressed or you're going to say, yeah, I'm still trusting on God. You know, I know I ain't got no money. I don't even have a job. Everybody may be laughing. I'm laughing with you, but I'm still. I'm still trusting God. Yeah. Sister Dawn, I'm not walking right. But I believe that one day I'm going to walk again. My relationships are jacked up. They acting crazy as I'm praying and hoping. Yeah, but I'm going to give that brother and sister over to God. I'm still going to trust God. Yeah. The world may be laughing at us, but there's a such thing as a laughable hope. Yeah. Y'all don't believe me? I found it in the scripture. Go to Genesis 18. In Genesis 18, see, we think Sarah was off when God said, you're going to have a baby in their old age. But I think Sarah wanted a baby. She had hope that what she heard the divine being saying would come true, but she couldn't help but laugh. check it out. In Genesis 18, verse 9, Mitchell, can you turn the heat down? I'm done, man. I am done. Turn me over, take me out. Yep, I heard the timer. Yep, I'm not alone too either. That's man. Yeah. Genesis 18:9. I'm talking about a laughable hope. Genesis 18:9 says, where is your wife Sarah? They asked. These are the three angelic visitors. They're in the tent, he said. That's Abraham. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah's listening. She old. This is before the blue pill. I'm keeping it PG. Sarah listening. She know biologically what that angel was saying just can't happen. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already very old. Come on, somebody. This is real. This is life. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed. God, there's nothing about my circumstances that leads me to believe that me and Abraham are going to have pleasure and have a child. But guess what? Sarah was hoping against hope. Come on, somebody. That what God had promised would actually happen. Listen to what the text says. So Sarah laughed to herself. And she thought, I'm old. Me and Abraham, by this time, we living in separate tents. y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We ain't even in the same tent no more. And and after I am worn out, that's some tough stuff. I need to study. After I am worn out and my Lord is old. He living over there. Will I now have this pleasure? The Bible. Huh? Huh? All right, preacher said you can have. I'm gonna leave that alone too. That's one of my retired ministers said you can have pleasure anytime. I'm not gonna ask him to interpret that at all. I'm surprised my wife didn't give me a look and you know, my back up. Yeah. This is life. If we're honest, many times when God promises us something, there is no reason in our physical sense to believe it could happen. And I believe Sarah taught us a new theology. We got to sometimes laugh but hope. We got to have a laughable hope that, you know, it sounds ridiculous. There's no reason why I should hold on. But I'm holding out because he's God. I'm not holding out what I can do in my flesh. I'm not holding out what I can do in my strength. I'm not holding out what others can do for me. I'm holding out because I got a testimony that God can overrule reality. So I'm laughing because mentally it doesn't make sense. But I'm laughing because spiritually I still believe. So I think Sarah went and moved her stuff back over to Abraham's tent. Said, let me get my stuff just in case. Advent is all about expectantly waiting. Waiting for God to do what he promised. Even though it's been a long time, even though the circumstances has really not changed, but God is God. I don't know anybody who is a Christian can really make it without a laughable hope. Because a laughable hope says that I'm not going to give up on God. Even though I thought the promise would have occurred years ago, I still know that he brought us out of Egypt. I still know that he raised Jesus from the grave. I still know that he made the heavens and the skies. I still know there's much about this life I can't understand. So even though it doesn't look like it's going to come through, I'm going to get with my buddies, man. God told me. I keep showing up in church. Man, why you keep coming to church? Your life all broke down because he's God. And if I quit laughing in hope, then I disappear in despair. And I don't know about you, but y'all may find me at the end of my days, can't talk, can't eat, can't walk. I'm still going to trust God. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. Because I know, even when I don't understand, I know he loves me. I know for a fact that he's real. So what am I saying? We've got to come to the close. I'll spend a little bit more time in the next service. With this season, own your unfulfilled desires. Go ahead and tell God what he already knows. Lord, I'm disappointed that this didn't happen. I'm disappointed and I'm still waiting that this didn't happen. Go ahead and cry out to God about what he knows is in your heart. Because if you don't, it can drive you away from God. But if you will, God will come into your disappointment. He'll come into your valleys. He'll come into your desert. And sometimes all he says, because I've been there, is that I'm here. Own your waiting. Go ahead and laugh. Yeah, God, I'm hoping against hope. Shall I have pleasure? Shall I have this? God didn't stop the promise because Sarah laughed. The angel says, "Did Sarah laugh?" And she embarrassed. She said, "No." She said, "No, you laughed." Because she knew that she was still hoping that it would be true. And then I want us to, come on, Moriar. I actually want us to come to the altar. And whatever you're longing for this morning, either out loud or a silent whisper, go ahead and say it to God. God, I have deep longings. Moriar, we're going to sing... My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ. 274? All right, we're on the same page. Our hope is not in a Christmas gift. It's not in wishing on a star. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ. Solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My question that I want you to ponder this morning is, what's your longings? What unfulfilled desires have you been placing before God and you really want to give up? But I'm telling you to keep hoping. Keep waiting. Keep talking to God, because in the talking... You're coming to know him in new ways. He's strengthening you spiritually in ways that he couldn't on the mountaintop. Everyone who wants a prayer for a longing, an unfulfilled desire, come to the altar. Before we open up the doors of church, come on. I just want to pray with you. And you can say out loud or in your spirit, God, I've been waiting. God, I